Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Tuesday morning. The Nashville Predators in action tonight, taking on Calgary. Preds have lost 7 in a row. And Andrew Burnett, as we've discussed all show long, asked about his job status yesterday. The asker of said question and the author, a very interesting piece at Tennessean.com, joins us now on the program. We head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHunted.com. Welcome in Alex Doherty from the Tennessean to the show. Alex, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Always happy to be on with Robbie and Rex Road.
Yes,
absolutely. Or Rex Rod.
Really, any way you want to take it.
That's right. That's right. Versatile.
Very versatile, depending on who you ask around the country.
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We're doing great, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So let's start on the Burnett front. Yeah, you had an interesting piece yesterday at Tennessean.com speaking with Sean Henry about kind of where things stand now. Obviously, the team is well below expectations, 7-15-6. You asked Burnett about his job status yesterday and kind of his thoughts on that. What do you make of where things currently stand with the Predators, with Andrew Burnett, and whether or not there could be a decision coming on that front?
Yeah, it was interesting. I think it was clear, like you guys said, about I think he was definitely ready for the question. I don't think he's not living under a rock. He knows the situation. And I want to give a quick shout out to my fellow columnist here at the Tennessee and Gentry Estes, who put something out Sunday night that I think captures the idea here. Like there's very little that this team can do beyond addressing the head coach situation because of how they've structured this whole, you know, retooling. I mean, they can't trade any of these players that have no trade clauses unless it's a situation where the player wants out and would be willing to waive them. They've already made some changes to the role players side and you know, obviously Tomasino out and Dante Fabre out, and you've got Svechkov in there. But, like, those guys were never going to be the ones to turn the season around. It's always going to be around the players, you know, finding a way to make this happen. And so it's just, like, it's inevitable. Like, everyone is going to start saying, like, do they need to make a change of coach? It's, I mean, if you go back to when John Hines was sort of on the hot seat with the Predators, it was a similar situation. He had obviously a lot more time. He was here for longer at the time. But, you know, I thought that was it was more of a product of the players were not playing to their expectation, especially guys like Matt Duchene and Ryan Johansson at the time. It's not dissimilar, except it's just way worse. And now you have the situation where you've spent all this money and you had all these expectations, and now you're on pace for a sub 60 point season, which would be the worst season ever. So I think the Burnett situation is, I think that the time to do it would be right now, right? I mean, I think all of us were kind of prepared for, like, after they came back from this road trip, that if they were going to do it, then that was going to be the time. And then they haven't done it, and it sounds like he's going to be there today. And then they go on another quick road trip, and then they're back home for a while. Like, if they were to be the same kind of bad team for the next few days and lose some more games, if they don't do it now, like, then they're not going to do it at all this season. I mean, it's not going to do any good to fire him when you are completely out of it, right? I mean, it's just it's a really careful situation. I think Trotz is probably going to be loyal to his guy. He obviously did a pretty good job last year. He has a good track record in the NHL. It's really a really frustrating situation all across the board.
Yeah, so you mentioned Trotz, so I mean, you know, when you look at the whole picture, you could probably make the case, and some people have today here on our text line, that why aren't more people mad at Trotz? Again, as we every time we bring this up, I know we raise our hand, and just like I think most people in this town, and say, man, we were basically throwing a parade with these moves. But as you look back, Alex, and now that you've seen 28 games of this team, are there some things that he should have considered that maybe he didn't, or is this as simple as it's just shocking how some of these guys appear to have fallen off a cliff?
I think there's sort of maybe you're starting to see, like, there's a reason why teams don't spend $100 million in one day on free agency. You know, I think that's part of it. Like, it's just in the NHL, there's free agency is not the answer. Like, I don't watch the NBA, but I would imagine the NBA is a little different. Like, you spend a gobs of money on one guy that can change your team. But and the NFL is kind of different too. But in the NHL, like, you have to draft and you have to develop players over a long period of time, and that's how you become good. That's how teams win Stanley Cups, is they draft and develop players over a long period of time, and then they have one or two superstars that help carry the way. Free agency, where you just go out and sign a bunch of 30-year-olds, that just doesn't typically tend to work. So maybe he's just like learning that's the way this works, and he needed to do this in order to satisfy the urge. Like, hey, if I just go out, if when I'm in charge, I'll go out and spend a bunch of money and show him that's how you can win. Maybe that's not it. And he got a taste of it the previous summer when he signed Ryan O'Reilly and Luke Shen and Gus Nyquist. But then now it's like, maybe this will set the stage for the rest of Trotz's tenure, that he got burned before. He knows that you can't just spend $100 million and fix all your problems by throwing money at them. And now he knows that. He had to actually experience it in order for it to come true.
So I brought up your conversation at the Tennessean with Sean Henry kind of speaking on behalf of Bill Haslam. What's your sense for where Haslam and the organization currently stand on the Brunette and the Trotz front right now?
Yeah, in putting that together, what I wanted to do is I wanted to get an idea of what kind of owner is Bill Haslam going to be, right? I think we have some ideas about what it could be. I mean, when we found out that he's going to be the majority owner, 2022, I think everyone kind of assumed, like, okay, I think he's probably going to be a more active owner than previous ownership for this team. But is he going to be like a Jerry Jones, like involved in the daily activities, you know, really? And so I wanted to answer that question, like, how involved is he? And I think the answer is he's going to be more involved for sure than the previous ownership with, you know, where the Herb Rich was majority owner and there were a lot of other minority owners, but, and there's still going to be minority owners, but I think he's going to be more involved. I think he wants it to be a partnership between him and Trotz. And I think that's what's happened. Like, he, when I talked to Sean Henry, who, if anyone who doesn't know, like, that's how the Predators for years have wanted this to work. There's a proxy for the owners, Sean Henry, who kind of speaks for them. So, it's different than, say, the Titans, where you could potentially talk to Amy Adams Strunk directly.
Really? Can you?
You don't talk to her every day, Joe? You don't have conversations?
Mostly
with her
texting.
Every day?
Mostly texting.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
TikTok.
But Sean Henry's a perfect. I think a really good person to talk to in this situation, because he is part of that group, right? So I think that, as best I understand, Haslam is a huge fan of Trotz. He trusts Barry Trotz to be able to figure this out. And I don't think there's any like regret at all about any of the signings this summer, any of the decisions Trotz has made, especially the fact that Trotz has been able to do all this without sacrificing into the future. That has been brought up many times. Like, the fact that they've held on to draft picks, they've held on to prospects, they haven't sacrificed. It's not, you know, it's not like they traded two first round picks to get Steven Stamkos, right? And now it's not working. They spent money. And as I understand it, and this is a quote that Sean Henry had, they're never going to let a bank account get in the way. Like, it's not a bottomless pit of money, but it's sort of like, spend whatever you want. You know, this is not an issue of like, we need to be tight with the purse strings now. Like, I think Bill Haslam is just totally fine with, spend whatever you need to do to make the team better. And, you know, that's the vibe that I get in terms of the Haslam-Trotz partnership right now.
Okay, quick aside question before I ask you a hockey question. So on this Haslam, do you, because I'm sure you requested Bill Haslam, do you feel like this is how it's going to be? I guess I was kind of hoping that, since there really is an owner, that there would be some, yeah. And I, you know, what Robbie said it earlier, I mean, he used to deal, he was a governor. He has dealt with media extensively. Do you feel like this is how it's going to be, that he's not going to really engage in that with media?
I that's the vibe I get. Yeah, I think that's how it's going to be. I think you're probably going to go to Sean Henry will speak for the ownership group, and in some way, I mean, I can't I don't know for sure, but I would imagine that Haslam will occasionally have some availability, but it probably won't be about team stuff. It'll probably be about, you know, larger organization, like business decision stuff, you know, like that, those kind of things. Like, I don't think you're going to be able to have to pull a meeting and say, Bill, what do you think about this, you know, this draft class coming up? You know, I can't see that happening.
Yeah. Well, you need an Amy and Bill, you know, weekly presser, a joint presser. We'll see if we can get those going moving forward. So,
at least the Predators don't have like three presidents or whatever the Titans have. You know, like a confusing mesh of different, you know, bureaucracy. Like, you got to talk to this vice president and then this guy. I don't know how it works. I just listen to your station a lot, and I hear a lot of complaining about that. So,
yeah, well, there's a lot of complaining about everything right now.
There is,
rightfully so. So, on the hockey front, Al, what's the way out of this? If there's something that you could see that's actually realistic, like a realistic way for this team to score at all, is there any hope in what you're seeing day to day from this hockey team right now?
Okay, so I have liked Steven Stamkos as the number one center with Philip Forsberg. They have not scored yet. that's only been there for a couple games, but I think there's something there. I think there's a little bit of a chemistry between like Stamkos and Forsberg and maybe Nyquist as a unit that could potentially find something. You know, if you remember last year, they were a one-line team with O'Reilly and Forsberg and Nyquist, and they had nothing after that. And then this year they tried to have like a three-line team where they were going to have Stamkos going and they were going to have O'Reilly going and Forsberg, and they were going to have this other kid line with Evangelista, and obviously none of it worked. So now they're just like, okay, well, we got to find a line that does something. Like, we need one line that can find some sort of offense. I think that's kind of what is the idea. Like, find one line that that makes the other team nervous, right? That when they're out there, they have to be ready. And I think that has to be the Stamkos, Forsberg, Nyquist line right now. And then the other ones just tread water until they can win a few games and gain some confidence. I mean, that's where they are right now. They have got to find any foothold out of this. And the only way to do that is just like find confidence anywhere you can. Like, if you get a power play goal tonight, that's huge. If you get two even strength goals, then you're rolling, right? I mean, that would be monumental for this team. So it's going to be just incremental change and incremental, like, small steps here and there that just slowly they can build their way back into it.
Well, Alex, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us today on the program, and we will talk to you soon.
Absolutely. See you later. Thanks.
Next time we'll talk Milwaukee sports.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to say there was a lot of Carl Taylor talk earlier today that I did not appreciate. So I can't stand for negativity around Carl Taylor. So we're going to have to address that later.
And Giannis too. Giannis's usage. There's a lot of stuff we can get into.
Brewers.
Yeah, that's right. Brewers offseason moves. Yeah. We love Milwaukee sports.
The Brewers, I can't believe the Brewers didn't sign Soto. I was really hoping that would happen.
They were in there, I think, right? They were close.
Go yeah. Pat, go.
Thank you, Alex. They were about $700 million off.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Alex. Appreciate all you, right, man. Alex Doherty from Tennessee and our guest on Robbie and Rexro. We'll react to what he had to say. Take more of your thoughts on the Titans and the Preds. 615-737-1025. Robbie and Rexro, 1025-1063, the game.